Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, did see. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee everyone into his own land. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver. And as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant places. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. We begin a new section now in the book of Isaiah, and it is a section that kind of works in and out of a particular theme. You could take this next section, some scholars do, some scholars don't, but you could actually take this next section And you could take it really all the way up until the historical vignette of Hezekiah with regard to the movement of the Assyrian army south, right in the last three chapters of the book, before we go to chapter 40. Okay, you could actually take this section up until that point, although there would be a couple of interludes and differences. We now turn against the nations. And turning against the nations, I have found it in my own meditations. I'm not sure I'm ready to speak about it yet, although I may have a little bit to say. I'm not sure. But, you know, why do we start with Babylon? Why is Isaiah's first blush here when talking about the nations and the judgment of the unbelieving nations before the Lord? Why would he start with Babylon? Assyria is the world power. Assyria is the main enemy that will come against Jerusalem, has already taken down the northern kingdom, moving south now. Why is it that he would start with Babylon? And interestingly, at the end of that longer section, more broadly considered, why is Assyria the last that is taken up? Well, it's an interesting thought. Maybe Isaiah is projecting prophetically beyond mere Babylon of his day and working to that great Babylon, that in this section where he's talking about the enemies of God and their destruction, that he focuses on Babylon first, because Babylon will give its name to the quintessential enemies of God for all time eventually. And so the last enemy to be destroyed is mentioned first. And then the last enemy mentioned is actually the first one destroyed. Well, it's an interesting thought. I'm kind of out on a limb on that. I've not found any biblical support as yet, but I haven't completed my research either. But it is an interesting thing to think about. So with that then, let's remember what I think the wise Dr. Edward Young says about this chapter of Isaiah and what is about to follow. Listen to what he says. That these prophecies appear in the biblical book of Isaiah was not for the benefit of the Babylonians, but for the people of God. From them, they would learn that the hostile power of the world in its most powerful manifestation would finally be brought to ignominious defeat and ruin. No power that sets itself up against God, be it as haughty and pretentious as was Babylonia, can prevail. Thus, Israel would learn, not Babylon, Israel would learn that God does not permit to go unpunished the wickedness of those who have set themselves against the Lord and against His anointed and who oppose His people. There are judgments pronounced on Babylon that for the most part, they never heard. Now, there was some witness there in Daniel and in Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. There was some witness there. Remember what Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar when he had that dream, remember, that he was going to eat grass like an ox? What did Daniel say to him? Break off thy sins by righteousness, that the prolonging of thy sane time might be, right? Remember that? So yeah, there was some witness there. But for the most part, the destruction of Babylon wholesale was never advertised to Babylon. It was given to the people of God for their comfort. Let's remember that as we enter into this section now where we talk about such notables as Babylon and Tyre and Moab and Ammon and so on. Let's remember that. That the Lord often sequesters the truth from those in the world of whom He speaks and speaks His secret to His people that they may have comfort and hope. This is a good word from Dr. Young. And it's helpful to us, I think. Okay, so with that as the introduction to the chapter, we have this same Isaiah in chapter 13 that we saw in chapter 1. And so the Lord is raising up a standard. through this prophet Isaiah. He is calling his troops together. That's what it says. The Lord has erected this banner. And he's calling his troops. Now, who are his troops? Well, this is the interesting part, isn't it? Because the troops that the Lord is calling are not believing people. They're unbelievers. The troops that God is calling to come against Babylon, to destroy Babylon. Remember, Babylon here is not yet the world power that needs to be destroyed. But this is prophetic look at Babylon and what they will become and how the Lord will bring them down. And who does he stir up? He stirs up those who come from an even farther country away than Babylonia. Even farther to the east. The Medes. And they will rise up. And they will indeed conquer Babylonia. And Babylonia will give up her strength to the Median Empire. Just the night before, we read in our family worship about the hand writing on the wall and the night that Babylonia gave up its strength to Darius the Mede. Well, this is 125, 130 years, 150 years after this writing of Isaiah. And yet note the exactness with which the prophet speaks. That the Medes will rise up. The Medes, they're not even on the radar. They're that far country that nobody knows much about. That mysterious dark land way to the east. Assyria is what we need to worry about now. The Lord says, no, Babylonia is coming. But I've got a plan for that too. I'm going to raise up my army from the east. And they will indeed deal with those who have risen up haughtily against me. So then in the next section, verses 6 through 18, the prophet begins with the reaction of those who are the recipients of the Lord's destruction. It's interesting. It says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Literally in the Hebrew, it'll come as a shod from Shaddai. There's a play on words there. It is meant to draw us in. A shod, destruction, from Shaddai, the Almighty. All hands shall be faint. All hearts shall melt. The destruction is also a destruction of spirit. So swift and terrible it will be that it is completely disheartening as well. Fear takes hold, not the fear of soldiers, but the fear of women among the soldiers. Their faces shall be like fire, that is, red for fear and anguish, flushed from the threat. And note that this destruction, the Lord says, is cruel. The meaning of the original word here is that it is unrelenting. It will not let up. There will be no respite for Babylonia. And so then next we have language that is common to prophetic passages of judgment. What happens in Babylon that day? The sun ceases to shine. Literally? No. The moon no longer gives her light. Literally? No. The stars fall from the heaven. Literally? No. But it is as if the world has come to an end in Babylonia. That's prophetic language. And that's what it speaks to. The next portion speaks of that which stirs up the wrath of the Lord. And listen to what has stirred him up so mightily. First of all, their pride. Their pride. Second of all, their arrogancy. And what is arrogancy, really? It is taking to yourself that which belongs to God. Third, their evil. Fourth, their sin and iniquity. This is what characterized Babylon. And you remember what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He heard all of that from Daniel. You remember that? He heard all of that. You're going to eat grass like an ox. The dew of heaven is going to wet your clothing. Your nails are going to grow like eagle's claws. And your hair will look like feathers. I guess there was a time in the 80s where that was a good thing here in this country, right? Not in that day. That would have been a debasing thing. And so he tells him, break off thy sins by righteousness for a prolonging of the days of, of right-mindedness. And do you remember what happened? He did for a while. But like that guy that we read about in 2 Peter, he couldn't help but return to it. And so he walks out on his patio one day and he says, "Look at this great city that I have built. My hand, Nebuchadnezzar, has done all these things." And it is at that very moment that it falls upon him. The blindness, the darkness, the bestial character of which he had already ascribed because he had divorced himself from right gospel thinking. And so, notice what happens here then. Pride is at the front, the first of the list. This is what has stirred the Lord up so. And may I say, brothers and sisters, then, that these things ought to be as far from us as we can make them. Pride, arrogancy, evil, sin, iniquity, these things ought to be so very far from those of us who are named as God's people. The extent or severity of it then is next. The laying low of the proud, a man will become more scarce than gold. That is a horrible description. The earth, generally thought of as a place of habitation, then will be shaken, so as all that are on it shall fall. Children shall be dashed in pieces, women ravished, even the weakest and most helpless will not be spared. And then the matter is summed up, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. That's the word of the prophet. Now, there are some today saying that, well, that kingdom has been built back up. Listen to what Dr. Young says, who was not only conversant with 8 or 9 ancient Near Eastern languages, but also with the current archaeology of his day. Cyrus left the walls and the city of Babylon itself still standing. Later in 518 BC, the walls were destroyed. Then Xerxes ruined the temple of Belus. As Seleucia rose, so Babylon declined. And in Strabo's time, Babylon was a desert, of which he says, "A great desert is the great city." Here then is a complete destruction. Babylon must be wiped off the face of the earth. She will not sit as an inhabited city, not even a solitary city like Jerusalem after its banishment. Neither will she be inhabited from generation to generation. How truly this prophecy has been fulfilled. Well, so will it be for all those who rise up like Babylon in pride, arrogancy, evil, and iniquity. Let's stand and call upon the Lord by in the singing of psalms.